because it winds up messing something up on you. Hey, welcome everybody. Can we welcome all of our new people? Come on, we're so glad you guys are here. Thank you for coming and being a part of our service today. And we got lots of folks from churches that weren't brave enough to open today. You know, I'm just kidding. That's a joke. But I appreciate a lot of them. Like, I know Pastor Greg, you guys, y'all are iced over on your parking lot and stuff like that. There are things that are going on, but I'm nervous. I got two pastors in the house today, and I'm just a little bit like, okay, what did they come here for? They could have chosen other churches, but no. They had to come here and check up on me, you know. And then we have a small groups leader who's leading a group on Tuesday morning. It's just basically, what are you calling it, Todd? Sunday recap. So yeah, you're going to revisit the sermon on Sundays, what they're going to do. I had to join the group just to make sure they didn't mess with me in the group, all right? So, but he got Brandon so good, man. He sent Brandon this text, and he was putting all the stuff on the website. And he said, well, I'm going to do a small group on Sunday mornings to make sure that the sermons are all doctrinally correct. And we're going to make sure that on Tuesday mornings we fix whatever Pastor Keith messes up. And Brandon bought it for a couple of minutes. That's what's so funny about that. Is you don't get Brandon on much, but he bought that for a couple of minutes and text Chelsea. And he and Chelsea were talking about it, and they were like, is he serious? I don't know. And Brandon said, we can't post that on a website. What kind of stuff? And so anyway, I love it. Somebody said one time, there's nothing like getting a getter. You know, if somebody who's always getting somebody else, there's nothing like getting a getter. And that's awesome. And so anyway, we're in the middle of really toward the, this is the beginning, the last week of 21 days of fasting and prayer. And I want to tell you guys something, man. If you're participating in this, you already know what I'm about to say, but I told you guys last week, I just confessed to you that I started the first 3 days of fasting and prayer. I just showed up. My heart wasn't there. My mind wasn't in it. I just thought, I got to go because I'm the pastor and I need to be there and open the doors and turn everything on and all of that. And it just showed up, man. And then all of a sudden I could sense the presence of God, and I started really leaning in. And now, man, I want to tell you guys something. It's something that every season we do this. We do it here, and we do it also in August. And many of you guys that are visiting, you churches do the same thing. And you know the power behind what's happening in our culture because of prayer. Our church, I really believe our church is growing because we have a prayer team who is on the ground, really fighting in prayer, going ahead of us. I believe that with all my heart, that the hard work that goes on and all is all supported because God, we're imploring God. We can't do this on our own. You can't either. Some of you may be trying to do life by yourself, and if you are, you already know that it's not working. You may not know why. You may not can figure it all out, but you cannot do life without God at the top and without other people besides you running that same race. And I saw Steve and Missy and them come in this morning. I just like, man, I hadn't seen you guys in so long. And that's the power of family. These people are family. They go to another church, but I just slowly walk into the door like, oh, man, I've seen you guys in so long, and get the hug. That's what, y'all, in the kingdom, one day, and I'm going to talk about it at the end of I'll preach in a minute, but one day, we're not going to have to say bye. We're not going to have to say see later or watch people die or any of those things that many of you guys have participated in. I'm telling you, man, one day it's going to come and it's going to all be put back together and God's going to be face to face with us. And I'm already preaching the end of my message before I get there. But I want to tell you, this 21 days, if you haven't participated at all, don't guilt trip yourself. Don't just say, well, I don't know, I'm out of it. I might as well wait on August now. Don't wait till August. Come on, y'all. Don't wait. Come, if you can be here at 6 o'clock in the morning, fine. Every Monday through Friday, it's fine. 9 o'clock on Saturdays now, and we were going to meet last week, and the snow came. And are y'all glad to be out of the house, people? Man, let's get out and come be together. Jennifer walked through the door this morning, and she was like, she's on the river. Y'all, they're the last part of the whole thing that gets un-iced, except for Micah. The Groters at home. Love you guys. By the way, let's say hey to our online church. We love you guys. Can we welcome them? I'm glad you're here. And she walked in the door this morning like, people, there's people. And she's really, really excited. And all the introverts were saying, man, it's been the best week of my life, man. I've been in the house, nobody to mess with me and all that. I love it. We all get some of that, right? And Liz looked at me the other day and she said, are you getting a little bit cabin fever? I said, I'm both stir and crazy. I'm ready to get out of the house kind of thing. And oh, come on, y'all. It's a wonderful time right now. I'm not a snow fan or an ice fan. I'm in the South and all that. I'm a fan of being able to get out and be around people and do stuff. And man, I'm...
The battery's going away now.
Check, check. Is it the microphone doing that? Okay. Okay, we're good. Don't push that button. I love you, man. Oh, man. So participate. What I'm saying is if you haven't been participating, come and be a part of it. If you can't come be a part of it this morning at 6 o'clock, get up, turn your, all you got to do is open phone and hit the Church of the Highlands app and open up their app, and it's right there. I mean, it's so easy. A caveman can do it. And by the way, I'm so glad Geico's bringing those commercials back. But anyway, that's another old thing. But it is so easy to do. Please don't miss it. And if you can't get online, you can't do it, take 6 o'clock in the morning, 7 o'clock in the morning, whatever time you get up another 15 minutes early and just give God the first 15 and just pray and praise and listen to what he's saying and read his word. And, man, just get connected, because I'm telling you, I dread seeing it end next week. I'm not an early morning guy, but I dread seeing it stop. And so on day 22 and day 23 and beyond, we need to be praying every day. And so praise God for you guys. I love you. I love you, love you, love you. So welcome, everybody. And we're going to get started in some message now. We're in a series right now. We're called Attributes of God. And and this week and next week, and we're done. But we could literally 52 weeks, we could preach on this the rest of our life. God is so vast and amazing. And we covered already his omnipotence and his omniscience and all the omnis of God, his omnipresence and his sovereignty. We've talked about those things. We talked about God is faithful. And last week I talked about how God is patient. Aren't you glad he's long suffering and he's waiting? I'm just so glad he ain't killed me already. I mean, because I deserve it. I deserve death. But because of what I'm going to preach today, I don't get it. I don't get death. I get physical death one day. That's going to happen unless Jesus comes back first. That's going to happen. But here's the thing. I don't have to worry about what's after that. I'm not wondering what's going to happen next. I'm a little curious about how it's going to feel and what it's going to look like and whatever is there. But I want to tell you, man, I'm not afraid of that. I'm so excited. The older I get, y'all, come on, some of y'all my age and older, the older I get and the less of this thing that doesn't work, I'm ready to get a new one, all right? And ready to move on to where Jesus is and see him face to face. And if that weirds you out a little bit, you're probably still very young or you don't have a right relationship with Jesus Christ. And I'm not saying I've got it and you don't. I'm just saying that when you get sold out to who he is, then whatever comes our way here is so little compared to the glory that we're going to receive there. And so today we're going to talk about the holiness of God. Everybody say God is holy. He is holy. He is holy. You know, God created the world. He created it perfect. He created it a place where he could have face-to-face relationship, walk-around kind of relationship with the people that he created. And you guys, most of you in here know the story. If you're online and don't know the story, it's in the book of Genesis, first three or four chapters. And we read about how that Adam and Eve were given a choice because God didn't want robots. He wanted people. It's why you have children. You don't want robots, although sometimes you'd like to push a button and stop them from what they're doing. You really want a relationship with them. And you know before you have them, they're going to mess your life up when they come in the world. But you still have that longing that God put inside of us. And God created man and woman and put them in the garden, perfect place. No sin, no problem. Didn't even know what sin was. And God gave them a choice, and they chose the wrong thing. And if you want to learn more about that, join a Freedom Group. Come on, Freedom Group, where are you? Get in Freedom Group and learn. I always thought that God, once they sinned, God said, get out of my garden. Get out. What are you doing? You dirty filthies, get out of here. No, he didn't. Bible says God was looking for them. Adam, where are you? And Adam's up in a tree. Lord, I hid myself because how did you know you were naked? Did you eat from, did you? God already knew all that stuff. He's trying to get Adam to face it with what he had done. And he said, the woman did it, Lord. And the woman said, the snake did it. And the snake didn't have a leg to stand on. And so I'm just, I mean, pointing fingers and doing like everybody. Come on, Russ, you like that, don't you, brother? Russ is in the floor up here, y'all. He's in the floor. And y'all, that's the way our world is right now. I didn't do it. It's that woman you gave me. It's that man you gave me. It's that friend you gave me. It's that job I've got. It's the people around me, Lord. It's that pastor over there. He's the one that messes with me. And we point fingers and blame, and that's the way we are in our world. And God had this perfect place, and we messed it up by choosing the wrong thing. And it didn't take you long to watch your children do the same thing, did it? You didn't have a lying class. You didn't have a cheating class, but they just somehow know how to do it. And you know they broke the lamp, but it wasn't me. So we understand that, and we know how to get started that way, and then perfection is there, and sin comes in, and it's all messed up. And the dilemma that we find ourselves in is this, that God, who is holy, and let me just explain a little bit about what it means that God is holy. When we say God is holy, the word holy itself means separated or separate and apart from. It means set aside. Most people think holy just means pure, and that's part of the meaning of it, but only pure in the sense that you're different from the world. Because, y'all, without morality, we don't, without God, we wouldn't even know what morality was. That's why we know there is a God, is because God created that and he fixed that. And so it's the best argument for God is morality. So God, who is holy, though, when you say God is holy, it doesn't mean he's just pure. It means he's unlike any other thing that is. I remember like yesterday, David Underwood, one of my mentors, as I started out preaching, and I was in Bible class, and he said that about the word holy. And it just taught me so much in a moment, like, oh. So you can't compare God. You can't say God is like something and him actually be like that thing. We talked about that last week. When you start attributing to God the things that you think you have in you, and God's patience and his kindness is as weak as I am, then you've got trouble. You got a God that's not who he is, but God is unlike anything else that exists, or that thing or person or anything. You can't compare him. There is no comparison. He is Almighty God. Almighty God, he is everything, and in every, he's not like, anyway, I'm going too far with that. Y'all know what I'm saying. He's unlike any other thing that exists. He's completely, perfectly set apart, and the dilemma is that we have a holy God who cannot sin, cannot cause anybody to sin, cannot be around sin, and you got this filthy sinner like Keith Davis who comes into the world and figures out sin and gets all up in it, and you got God over there and Keith over here, and I don't know what to do about that. In fact, I can't do anything about that in and of myself. And we have a whole world of people who look at church and go, church is about where I have to go and be holy. And I can't smoke or drink or cuss or I can't tell my jokes. And I can't go to those clubs. I can't do the things that I think I should be able to do. And so people say, I don't want this God because I can't be like that. And the answer to that question is no, they can't be. And we shouldn't expect them to be. We look at the world sometimes as Christians and go, I can't believe they believe that. What a filthy, nasty sin that is. I can't believe they know. What in the world's wrong with this world? The wrong with the world is that they're unholy and they don't know how to get holy and separate back to where God made them to be in the first place. And we've got the answer. We have the answer. That's the dilemma. And if you find yourself in a relationship or in a problem or an issue or whatever it is, and God's not the center of that, then you are in an unholy relationship. You are in an unholy state, and you feel it and you sense it, even if you can't define what it is. And our atheist friends and people that we know around us who just treat sin and morality like it's whatever, they're lost, and they don't even know it, and it makes them mad if you tell them they're lost. Kind of like a man driving and a wife in the other seat, right? And you go into a big city, GPS fixed all this. Praise God for GPS. We don't need atlases anymore. Did we make the wrong turn or whatever? It just recalculates and tells us where to turn next. But there was a time when I needed help, but I didn't want help because men don't ask for directions. We don't need you to tell us because we've got it figured out. That's the way the world is. They're saying, we don't need your direction. We don't need your Jesus. We don't need, and they're saying the things that's exactly opposite of what they actually need. And it's all because of unholiness in the world. So you have this God who is holy and we're unholy, and that's the problem. And that's what we're going to talk about the rest of this message. If you read your Bible, as you know, is divided, you should know. If you don't know, the Bible's divided up into two sections, Old and New Testament. And the Old Testament, in the Old Testament, we learn about the Old Covenant. And we see these relationships that people have with God all the time. And most of the time, when God is mentioned, people run the other way. Even his enemies. They're like, I love the story of the Philistines, and they put the Ark of the Covenant in their temple, and their God is on his face the next day. They don't know what to do with God. The people encounter God all the time, and they run from him. And one, I could use lots of illustrations here, but one of the things that I found is that in the Old Covenant, we see illustrations over and over again that sin separated man from God. By the way, these guys who are guests with us, For you guys who are guests, we have a bigger screen in the middle, but the projector is messed up, and the guy was supposed to come week before last, and he got hurt, and then he was supposed to come last week, and y'all know what happened last week. Nobody went anywhere, and so we're getting it worked on, so I'm sorry for the little TVs, but hey, thank God for the little TVs, right? And so sin separated man from God, and the problem of sin and is sin with people and God's inability to be where sin was. And so Isaiah tells this about a vision that he has in Isaiah 6, bless you. And the scripture says, it was in the year King Uzziah died that I saw the Lord. Just that sentence alone. They were so afraid to see God that if they ever thought he was in front of them, they'd hide their face. Because they knew they couldn't see God and live. But he says, I saw God. He was sitting on a lofty throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Attending him were seraphim, mighty seraphim, each having six wings, two wings covering their faces, two covering their feet, and they flew with the other two. Don't try to figure that part out. Just understand, this is a heavenly, glorious being that's about to say something awesome about God. And you hear it over and over again in Scripture. And verse 3 says, they were calling out to each other, holy, holy, holy. We just sang that song. Holy, holy, the Lord of heaven's armies. The whole earth is filled with his glory. And you can see that there. You can see it in Daniel. You can see it in Revelation. They say this over and over and over and over again. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And we say that over and over and over again. We see, we teach that. And we want to understand that. And these angels were saying that. Their voices shook the temple to the foundations, to its foundations, and the entire building filled with smoke. Generally, in the Old Testament, when you read about God, there's usually earthquakes and fire and smoke and lightning and big God. I don't know if he talked like that or not. It's like God shows up with this big, deep voice and shakes the whole world. And everybody goes, oh, no. I mean, the Israelites couldn't even get close to the mountain when Moses went up to get the Ten Commandments. They couldn't get close. And the mountain shook. And in Revelation, every time you see in Revelation thunderings and lightnings and voices and earthquakes, when you see that, that means God's about to do something. Okay? So that's his mightiness. And I know he speaks in small voices in other ways, but here he speaks in this trembling, earth-shaking thing. And Scripture says that Isaiah said, then I said, oh, God, you're great. You're amazing. I'm so glad to be here. No, that's not what he said at all. He said, it is all over. It is over. Have you ever had that dream in your mind about what it would be like to meet Jesus and what you're going to do? Have you ever said, I can't wait to meet Jesus because I want to give him a big hug or I want to do whatever? I imagine it might be a little something like this. And it may not be. I don't know. But here, Isaiah said, it's all over. I am doomed. And the reason I'm doomed is because I'm a sinful man and I'm around people who are sinful people. We all have filthy lips. Notice he connects it. I am a sinful man. I have filthy lips, and I'm living among people with filthy lips. There's a lot of connection between what comes out of our mouth and our holiness or our unholiness. Y'all get what I'm saying, right? And he ends by saying, yet I have seen the King. I have seen the King, the Lord of heaven's armies. It's like Isaiah says, I walked into this presence, and I hear this rumbling and shaking, and I'm nothing. I am nothing. I'm a sinful man. And the people I'm around are sinful. But God let me see him. And you get these pictures all through the Bible where somebody sees the presence of God. And it was mighty and amazing, but it's almost like they can't even describe it. And in this, he's in this presence. And God let him see this glimpse in the middle of his field. That's kind of sometimes when you read the Old Covenant, the Old Bible, the Old Testament, and you read that, you kind of see this picture of God as this mighty, rumbling, everybody's running from him kind of thing. And it was because Messiah hadn't come yet. They hadn't seen the full picture. They hadn't seen it. Because the next point is this, the New Covenant, when you turn to your New Testament and you see Jesus coming to the world, he's crucified and resurrected, you get a whole other picture of what they see about God. God hasn't changed, by the way. His grace and mercy still exists. He's still who he is. He's still holy. But God has fixed the problem. When you read about it in the New Covenant. When we look back, we talk about Jesus. Let me just get out of this for a minute and say, sometimes we talk about Jesus so much that we just forget how amazing it is that we even have a shot to see Jesus one day. We get kind of uppity, don't we? And we kind of want to brag a little bit about who, we don't do it like, well, I'm a Christian and everybody else is terrible. But we kind of sometimes come across that way to people. And the only difference between us and the worst sinner you can think of in your life is that we have Jesus. That's the only difference. And y'all, come on, somebody ought to say amen right there or something. Come on, I mean, are we there? Have we got to the point that we can't even be touched by this anymore? People come to me all the time, man, I need to fix this, and I need to work on this, and I need to help that. And what they don't understand is, and you guys know what I'm talking about, I'm just as messed up as they are. And they come to me wanting to help. And I give them all the help I can, then I go home and I fail. Because we all have Jesus. Jesus is all that matters in my life, ultimately, right? I mean, y'all matter, Liz matters. We all matter to each other. But ultimately, when it's all said and done, the only thing I want to be standing on is the rock of Jesus Christ. That's it. That's it. And I don't need to wait till he comes to do that. And I don't need to take it for granted. Some of you are here today because you just can't stand to miss a Sunday being with believers. That's a wonderful thing, isn't it? I mean, some of us, we just, it's like Sunday is, I just cannot wait, because from the time I get here at 6 o'clock in the morning until I leave here, there's not a lot I'm thinking about other than you guys and Jesus and all these other things. There's no bills to pay. There's no problems in my life. There's no issues going on in my life. And sometimes when I get out of here and I either get, especially when I get alone, by the way, yeah, the tapes start playing, right? Yeah, you ain't all you think you are. You just think you're the best husband in the world. That's funny, y'all. Some things I know I'm not. Oh, you just think you're all that. You ever play these things, but you're not. And I start listening to the enemy, and the enemy whispers something. Well, you're just not all that. In fact, you're not even, you're less than all that. You're less than anything you think you are. And then he starts throwing this stuff in that are lies. And I'm going to tell you, man, over the last few weeks, especially the last few days, I just shut his mouth with Jesus. Shut his mouth. You don't have to listen to that stuff anymore. I don't have to listen to it anymore. In fact, when I'm listening to it and adhering to it, I'm choosing to do that. I'm choosing to push against the very thing that God put in me, and that is this. And by the way, the book of Hebrews is the book that helps you understand the difference between Old Covenant and New Covenant. If you want to read the book of Hebrews and understand it, that's what it's about. It was people who were like great-great-grandchildren of Jesus, his family, his generation, not Jesus, but of that generation. And all these guys that were talking about Jesus, they've all died off, been killed, or whatever's happened. And now they're like discouraged and don't know what to do. And they start, some of them say, well, I think we just need to go back to Judaism. That's what we need to do. You ever felt like that, by the way, that you get out of your comfort zone of what you used to know and you want to go back every now and then? Some of y'all know how I'm trying to dive into the Holy Spirit and trying to learn more about it. I'm going to tell you, my default mode crops up sometimes, but that don't make any sense. And so that's what they were doing in the book of Hebrews. They're trying to go back to Judaism. And here's some of the things that God says to them through that word. Come on. And the Bible says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter the most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. Let's just hold that slide right there a minute and wonder, what is the most holy place? What does that even mean? And you guys who don't, if you don't know your Bible, there's this cool thing in the Old Testament called the temple, tabernacle first and then temple later. And there was lots of things that I can't go into about it. But basically, there were two rooms inside the temple. One was the holy place and one was the most holy place. And the priest would go in, and once a year he would go into the most holy place, and he would be right next to the Ark of the Covenant. That's that gold box that they found in the Indiana Jones movie. Y'all remember that? That killed everybody around it. It was powerful. Everywhere the box went, God was. And if you weren't for God, then you just got messed all up. And he would go in there where that ark was, and he would offer more blood. Y'all, he sacrificed animals before he went in. When he went, he had blood. He's slinging blood all over the place with the hyssop branch. And he's offering sacrifice for the sins of the people. And he did it once a year, not to forgive sins, but to tell them they were sinners. Don't you love the person in your life that always reminds you of the junk in your life? Oh, yeah, I remember back when you did such and such. I remember when you was there. Every year they got reminded that your sins aren't gone. They're just here. We're just going to have to wash them out again. And it was such a dangerous place to be that they tie a rope around his waist and put bells on him. So if the bell stopped ringing, they'd drag him out because they knew he did something wrong and he was dead. It was not a place to walk into lightheartedly, let me tell you that. And he would do that every year. And that's this most holy place is where God was. It was separated by this huge curtain, thick curtain. What was it, 90 feet tall, something like that? It was an amazing, massive thing. And it was separating where God was from where the people could actually walk up to. Can you imagine the curiosity of what was behind that curtain? You know, your curiosity would do that, right, too. If your parents ever told you, nope, no more in this house will you do this. Well, so why? And they give us the right answer, right? Because I said so. Why did you say so? And forevermore, as long as that line was there, you were curious about what was on the other side of it until you stepped in it and wished you hadn't. Can you imagine? I wonder what was on the other side of that. Jesus is crucified. He's crucified, and the scripture says that from top to bottom, that veil, that thing was ripped open. That wasn't just God showing mighty force. That was God saying, everybody come on in. Everybody come on in. I want you not to just come. He says it right here. As dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter the most holy place. We don't have to put bells around our waist or tie a rope so if we die or whatever, because God is saying, come on. Come on, y'all. This is so good. Come on in. God's asking you, come on. And you say, but God, I'm so unholy. He fixed that too. What he says, by his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain. There's that curtain. Into the most holy place. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, he's the one that rules. This is not a high priest that dies after a certain amount of time. We have to get another one. This is the one that rules the house. Let us go right into the presence of God. All my life I was taught that God was so way out there somewhere, and don't you ever ask God any questions, and don't you say anything to God or about God unless you're reverent and on your knees and quiet. And y'all, there's a time for that. But this scripture says he's invited me in. He's invited me in. He goes on. He says, let us go right to the presence of God with sincere hearts. Your heart better be in the right place. Yes, absolutely. But we're trusting him, for our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood and made us clean. Instead of the hyssop branch and a blood of a bull or a goat, something that doesn't forgive, my sins are washed away in the blood of the Lamb, and so are yours. Come on, somebody. That's good news. And the world is floundering around going, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. And even when they do know what to do, it's the biggest bunch of bunk in the world. And they're trying to sell all this crazy philosophy stuff that we hear it all the time. You can be all you want to be. Just be yourself. Just trust yourself. Come on, man, yourself. You in America, you can do anything you want to do. And y'all, it's a lie. We don't trust ourselves. Lord, help me when I trust myself. And I just have to pray that prayer. God, I need your help. Can't do this on my own. And the sooner you get there, the better you're going to be. I got a text message from he was Ellen's half-brother. And for a long time, his name is Jason. Y'all pray for Jason. He got himself clean from drugs after years and years and years. And then everybody in his life around him died. His mama died. His daddy died. My wife, his half-sister died. Her sister died within a year and a half. They were all gone. And he finds himself in a house over there. I worried about him. I was worried because he found himself in a house with a little bit of inheritance money, and he's lonely, and he's scared, and he don't know what to do. And I hadn't heard from him in forever. His daughter sent me a message and said, man, he had a wreck, and he's back doing drugs again. And they caught him with some stuff, and now he's gone to jail and all these things. Well, I got a text message from him yesterday, and he said, hey, this is Jason. I just want you to know that I'm in Anniston. I've been here for 6 months in a rehab. He said, I relapsed. And he said, not going into all of that because I want you to know I'm back on the right way again. And I'm just going... It when you get yourself up out of where you need to be, and it doesn't have to be drugs and alcohol, by the way. When you get yourself up out of where you shouldn't be, then you feel and you sense this. But I want you to know that God has made a way that every time you sin, your sin's washed away. Every time you think something wrong, it's just washed away. Past, present, and future, it's just washed away. It's gone away. It doesn't mean that it doesn't matter. It does matter. We need to be living a holy life, absolutely. And we need to work in toward that way. But God, guys, none of it is going to ever do any good for us. And on top of giving us Jesus, ripping the veil open, opening up a way to step into the Holy of Holies and be right with God. Here's what God also gives us. He gives us this guarantee. Scripture says the good news that God saves you, the good news is that God saves you. And when you believed Christ, there's a step. When you believed in Christ, He identified you. He identified you as His own by giving you Holy Spirit, whom He promised long ago. And He says the Spirit is God's guarantee. So we have belief, we get a new identity, and then we get a guarantee. Man, I was taught that if you messed up right before you died, you just going, I'm sorry. God, Jesus' blood can't forgive that because you didn't get to say, forgive me, God. It was all based on what I did. It's all based on what I did. We were so afraid of the people who were teaching grace only and that there was nothing we had to do. We're so afraid of those people that we taught the other side of that. And I want to tell you something. Either side of it creates lazy Christians. Because people who believe in all grace and no faith, they just sit over here and go, well, God's going to save me anyway. I'll do whatever I want to do. I don't have to do anything right. And the people over here on the other side who say, well, I can't do anything right because I can't make yourself right. So I'm just forget it. I'm walking away. That was me. I'm done. I can't do it anyway. No matter what I do, I'm still lost. So what's the problem? The problem is we didn't put the emphasis in the right place. And I'll tell you another problem. We took the Holy Spirit out and we said He don't exist. And we lost our guarantee. We lost our warranty. The thing that gave us the power inside of us, we ignored Him. And thank God, I'm trying to figure that out. And I'm so grateful that He says He's a guarantee that He will give us the inheritance He promised. How did He guarantee us? He guaranteed us by giving us Holy Spirit. So because He identified us, because we believed. And He says that He has purchased us to be His own people. You're God's child. Your identity is not wrapped up in anybody in this world. People spending billions of dollars a year trying to figure out where they came from. And I think it's important. It's okay for you to figure that out. It was important in the Word. But let me tell you something. It doesn't matter where you came from. I can give you some identity today in Jesus Christ. And you know exactly where you're going. You know exactly where you're going. Research it all you want. Yesterday, somebody sent me a reel, and y'all know what happens when somebody sends you a reel. You like that one, and you scroll up, and you're hooked. And for about 10 minutes, I was hooked on those stupid things. And this guy came on, and he said, and y'all have seen it. I don't know, this older gentleman. He said, I just want to ask you a question. In 100 years from now, who's going to remember you? In 100 years from now, we'll all be in a grave somewhere. I mean, some of you, I mean, those of you guys are longevity people. Okay, we'll say 120 for some of y'all, okay? Nobody's going to remember. Except for God, brother, you're right. All those keepsakes and stuff that my kids will throw away one day when I'm gone. All the lands you bought, the lands you own right now, by the way, in 120 years, it won't be yours. Somebody else will be on it. Maybe some of your family, I don't know who it is, but it won't be you. In 120 years, and he said in the thing, he said, if we would ever live our life in this moment, like we know, none of that stuff matters. We'd probably get rid of some stuff in our closets. We'd probably stop worrying about all these things. The stuff that I get so fretful over in a moment and worry about the rest of the day, all likelihood are not going to matter. You see, we're His own people. He gives us identity. And He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And He loves unconditionally. And He says He did this so we would praise and glorify Him. We do that in here. every week, but we ought to be doing that every day we walk. Let's praise him as we do, because here's the thing. Come on up, worship team. I'm getting ready to wind down. And because it gets even better. So how can it get better? We go from a covenant that says basically you have to be scared at God and run away from God to a covenant that says you can walk right in, sit in his lap and talk to him. I like what Michelle said last week. Was it last week you did a ministry moment when she said, people ask me to pray for them, and I tell them, that's fine, I will do that. But you know, you have the same access I do. Isn't that wonderful? It's powerful. It's awesome. But here's the thing. The culmination of the covenant will be that we will see God. We'll see him. I'm excited about it. I want to see him. And I wonder what things he'll replay. In the book on heaven I just read, the guy said, I wonder if we'll get to go back and replay some stories and get to see, because I want to see Paul get slapped down on the road to Damascus. I just do. I'd like to see that. I think it'd make a great movie. But I want to see the event. You think he'll let us replay those things? Paul's conversion to Jesus. Maybe he'll go back and let me see my baptism again. I don't know about all that. I'm not sure any of that's even real. But I'll tell you one thing I don't want to miss. I want to see him as he is. No matter what he lets me see. Or no matter what's there or how it looks. It's going to beat the world out of this world. Here's what scripture says. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared. And the sea was also gone. I have a little theory about that sea. I looked it up, and my theory is probably not right, but I like it anyway. You know, in Revelation 5, it says there's a sea of glass in front of the throne that separates from where the people were to where God was. I think this is that sea. It could be. Might not be. I don't know. But if it is, that's saying that sea is gone, just like the veil was gone. And walk right up to the throne of Christ, throne of God. Watch him. Talk to him. It's all gone. And he said, and I saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven like a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. How many weddings I've attended and watched? I get a front row seat at every wedding. By the way, I don't like weddings, but anyway. But I get to stand and watch as the bride, for the first time, the doors come open. And I've watched guys, big old burly guys, just melt to the ground, man. Zach, why do you get to do that one day, buddy? Zach's like, why are you talking to me in front of everybody? And you see, and I've watched these guys just go, you hear them go. And you know, man, it's coming. I had a guy one time, he was so excited in premarital counseling, he just talked, man, I can't wait till the vows. And just, we want to repeat all the vows, but we want to say everything. And he saw her come up there, man. And by the time he got to the vows, he was saying, and I think you, he couldn't get him out. That excitement, that moment, is the picture that God's chosen for us. That one day when the trumpet sounds and you stand before God and you give an account and you do all the things that, of all you've done, good or bad. Max Lucado puts it this way. He says that the gate's going to swing open, and on the other side, you're going to hear a clap start, and it's going to be started by Jesus himself. And this bride walks up. He says, you're a bride. You're his bride, beautifully dressed for a husband. And I heard a shout from the throne of God saying, look, God's home is now among his people. Among his people. And he will live with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them, and he will wipe away every tear. Kind of saddens me a little bit because I'm a crying kind of guy. I don't think the happy tears will go away. I think we'll have tear ducts, by the way. That's another whole conversation for another time. But we will be there, and I think we'll see joy. And he says he will be with us, and we will be with him, and all the tears will go away. Notice that he doesn't say all tears. He says every tear. Specific. Everything you've ever cried about, that sorrow in an instant is wiped away. And he says that all these things, no more death, no more crying, no more pain, all these things will be gone forever. And to me, I think those are secondary to the holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. You're right here with me. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. I don't think it's about gold streets. And I don't think it's about just not dying or feeling good all the time or whatever, however you see it. I think heaven's going to be so great because God will be there, and hell will be so bad, not because of fire and brimstone and falling and gnashing of teeth and all of that. It'll be bad because God won't be there ever anymore. And I can't think of a scarier place to be. One story and I'll be done. There was a time it came in my life where I was so frustrated with church and frustrated with God and frustrated with ministry and just frustrated. And I walked away from it. And I had carried for a long time in my pocket. Y'all remember those little crosses, little metal crosses? It's actually called, I had a poem that came with it called "The Cross in My Pocket." And a guy gave me that. And he said, put it in there. Every time you get your change out or whatever, he said, you'll see that cross and you'll think about what's most important in your life. And I remember taking that cross and tossing it on my dresser and saying, I'm done. I'm walking away. Now, here's the thing. There's some people that never have had a relationship with Christ, so they won't get what I'm about to talk about. But when you've had a relationship with Christ and you want to try to run away from it, there is a sense immediately of loneliness that came over my life. I had family around me at the time. This was a long, long time ago. And it was just in a moment. And I just remember thinking inside of my heart, if I walk away from this, what do I have? And I'm nothing. And I don't know if you're listening at home, or if you are in this room and listening and you're hearing what I'm saying and you're saying, you know what, I don't understand that anymore. I've been trying to run away for a long, long time. And prayer team, come on up, guys. Come on up. I want to give opportunity for people to pray. Maybe you're that person. Maybe you're that person that needs somebody to pray with you about where you've been over the last few months or years or days, or maybe just since last night that you started feeling this way. And you, everybody stand with me. Come on, let's all stand together. Maybe this time when you need to be saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, you're just saying, I don't get it anymore. I'm walking away. I don't even understand this anymore. Maybe you're just thinking. Maybe you're just fluctuating. The Bible says you're in a strait betwixt the two. You don't know what to do, whether to follow God or not follow God. Let me ask you to do something. Let me just tell you, take a step, just one step, and come and pray with somebody and start seeking. Because as soon as I tossed that cross on the dresser, it didn't last long, by the way, because that kind of feeling is like, oh my goodness, I'm about to walk away from the thing that I've needed all of my life and that I had. Some of you need right now to come and pray. We're going to sing this song, Holy, 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 to give you an opportunity and time to do that. Before we do, I want you just to bow your heads where you are. And or if you need to come on, come forward, that's fine. But I want to pray for everybody right now. Father God, in this moment, I open up, Father, this conversation with you for people in this room who might be like I was that day, where they just are ready to walk away, or maybe they're just asking questions or they don't understand. I'm thankful I don't know the hearts of people, but you do. And I pray, God, that as I, in this moment, implore you, Father, to touch the heart of people. Help people sense your presence maybe greater than they ever have in their life. Holy Spirit, come in and touch hearts and lives. Holy Spirit, come in and do your work, Father. Come in, Holy Spirit, and convict and convince and bless, Father. Thank you that you're not a God of condemnation, but a God of conviction and a God of love. Thank you, God, that you can walk into our hearts in a moment in time, and in that instant, things can begin to change, and we can follow you, and we can seek after you, and even when we don't understand, God, you love us anyway. Father, that kind of love, that unconditional love that you have, God, we just want to praise you and honor you for that. Father, right now, as Russ prayed earlier, I just want to pray a prayer of deliverance and a prayer of just breaking off right now the things that people have in front of them, whether it's anxiety or fear or depression or hurt or anger or frustration or unforgiveness or whatever it is, God. Right now, I pray in Jesus' name that you break that off. Father, if there are people in the room or listening online who are full of addiction, addicted to food and drugs and pornography and alcohol and friendships, and addicted even maybe to their family, addicted that more they're more important than you are, God, I pray that you break off that addiction right now in Jesus' name. Father, I pray over our church and every church that's represented here right now, that whether people are listening at home or standing in this room, that God, you will wake up your church again, Father. We want to see revival in our communities, whether we're in Arizona or Athens or in Africa, God, wherever we are, Father. We just want to see the move that you would do in our life, Father. We want to see it, God. We declare, Father, that this is a year of unity in our church. I pray that you would unify not just Discovery Church and continue to keep us there, but you would unify your Big C Church, God, and bring us all together. I'm so grateful that we can stand and sit in the same room and worship together, God. Help us to live in the places that we go every day, our workplaces and shopping and school and all of those things, God. I pray that you'll help us to go into those areas being unified and speaking life and speaking love. And Father, for those of us who have in our hearts right now anger and frustration, Father, I pray that you will just help us to repent of that, Father, to renounce it in Jesus' name and to replace it with excitement and joy, the choice of peace and love and all the things, God, that you are. And I pray that we will spill over into our communities for that, God. I pray right now that you will touch the people who are married in this room, Father. Bless our marriages. Bless our relationships. Help us to come together, Father, always with you at the pinnacle of our relationships. And Father, help us to see what you would see in each other's lives, and help us to pour love into each other and not judgmentalism or frustration or anger or anything, God. I just pray that we will pour love and peace and joy, Father. Help us to choose joy. For the people in this room, Father, who are frustrated at somebody else in a specific argument, God, I pray that you will break that in Jesus' name, and that today, right now, Father, that you would help them leave this room and go somewhere else and talk to that person and make it right, Lord, so that they can win their brother or sister back and they can have you, Father, in the center of their relationships. God, I just want to just lift you up and praise you, God. You are El Shaddai, the Almighty God. We love you, Lord. You are the one who is our shepherd. And Father, you give us shalom. You're there, Father, with the perfect peace in our life. And God, we just laud you and magnify you for that. Thank you for leading us and guiding us and blessing us and teaching us and correcting us, Lord. Father, look in us and see if there's anything that is in the way between us and you, and correct that thing, God. Forgive it and move it out of the way so that we can move forward in service for you, so that every day, God, living a life for you, we can proclaim that you are holy, 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 God. You are holy. Holy, holy, holy is your name. Oh, Father, we love you. We praise you, Lord. Father, we grant you that, Father. Merciful and mighty.
Darkness hide thee. Though the eye of sinful man thy glory may not see, and only thou art holy, there is none beside thee, perfect in power.
If you still need prayer, please go and pray with somebody as we sing. Hallelujah.
And hallelujah. 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 Jesus reigns.
Thank you, Lord.
And holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, and all thy works shall praise thy name in earth and sky and sea. Blessed Trinity.
Hallelujah.
And hallelujah. 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 Jesus reigns.
Could you give him a hand clap of praise right there as we sing this last phrase together? Come on. Holy, holy, holy. Lord God Almighty, with all you got in you. Come on now.
Almighty God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Blessed Trinity, you are the Blessed Trinity.
Amen. Could y'all give him a hand clap of praise, please? That's a little hot, brother. Our prayer warriors are going to be up here for a little time after we're done. Can I just encourage you to do something? If you're a guest with us and you've never done this before, if you're new, please just fill out one of those connection cards in the chair in front of you. If you'll drop them in those little black boxes back there, that'll be great. And just let us know you've been here, and we want